Today's parable opens with an explanation, which is kind of unusual. The explanation part, anyway. Pray always and not lose heart. An important instruction, to be sure. We all need to hear that. Perseverance in prayer is an aspect of living faithful Christian lives. But it is not the whole of this teaching. Jesus doesn't give up everything we need to know in this first sentence. That would be poor storytelling, and we know Jesus is an excellent storyteller. Rather, this instruction about the need to pray always and not lose heart includes, but is not limited to, individual piety. It is like a tributary that, by the end of this parable, has fed into the wide river of the kingdom of God. It is a concern for justice that runs throughout the Gospel of Luke. Remember, this is the Gospel of Mary's Magnificat, poetically stating, "He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty." This is the gospel in which Jesus kicks off his public ministry by reading from the scroll of Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." To understand today's parable, it must not be isolated from God's liberating purpose, which Luke makes clear throughout the entire gospel narrative. In today's parable, Jesus provides insight into how prayer will be part of the liberating process that ushers in the kingdom of God. This parable sets up what appears to be a hopeless case. It takes place in a city. Now, you remember the story of the city mouse and the country mouse? And biblical scholars are hard-pressed to find a city that anything good is said about it, right, in the Bible. You can't find one. I challenge you to, anyhow. So the story, it takes place in a city where it's a hard place, where the vulnerable are taken advantage of. The judge neither feared God nor had respect for people. And in this one sentence, we know all of the ethical instruction of Torah law and the words of the prophets mean nothing to this person. The instruction to care for the widow, the orphan, the poor, the traveler and refugee, all of the most vulnerable in a society, which is foundational teaching for the Abrahamic faiths. And the prophets warn us time and time again that this, our treatment of these vulnerable ones, will be how nations are judged. All of this has no sway with this judge. He neither fears God nor has respect for people. He is a compassionless monolith, an impenetrable barrier. Enter now the widow. In Hebrew, widow means one who has no voice, and yet her voice is all she has. She is persistent and eventually wears down the judge until he finally grants her justice. It is his job, after all, right, Judge? But she keeps at him until she wears him down. It could have been the other way, couldn't it? It could have been the widow that gave up. And that's the point that Jesus makes at the end. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Will he find his people striving for justice in the way of this relentless widow? Or will he find us worn out, beaten down, despairing, and defeated? And this is where prayer comes in. And an unexpected parallel to this passage is the scene in the Garden of Gethsemane before Jesus' crucifixion. The disciples all fall asleep, but Jesus stays awake and persists in prayer. An angel attends to him. Keeping the channel open to the divine is how Jesus receives the strength and grace to persevere and endure. And when the soldiers come to arrest him, his disciples awake, and because they have not been in prayer, they have not been tethered to that channel of divine love and grace, they turn to violence. And one of them cuts off the ear of a soldier. But Jesus, having persisted in prayer, tethered to that divine love and wisdom and purpose, he remains the peacemaker and the reconciler. He instructs his disciples to halt and then heals the soldier. Then with drops of sweat like blood, he moves ahead to fulfill his mission of salvation on the cross. In the face of injustice that is both individual habit and ingrained social structure, there is a risk that the people of God will tire and wear out and give up. For myself as a woman, even with all my privilege as an educated white woman, I find there are times that the challenges I experience are so insurmountable that I find myself tempted to despair. And that's when I think of this relentless widow and Jesus' instruction to be ever aware and present to the Holy Spirit, the divine energy constantly coming toward us, for us to be open to that, for me to be open to that. For this is where new energies and creativity and ideas can come forth in pursuit of the kingdom of God, God's dream of all humanity living into the covenantal promises and compassion that flows from the very heart of God. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., in the midst of the civil rights movement, quoted the prophet Amos, which is an apt place for this reflection to end. For Dr. King's life of prayer and action was so much like the persistent widow, and his commitment so parallel to the peace of Jesus. As he faced the compassionless monoliths of his time and the impenetrable barriers of hardened hearts, he was inspired through prayer. And let that inspire us to do the same, to persist in prayer, to continue to resist the powers of oppression and injustice, whether we are the ones without a voice or we stand with the ones who are without a voice. May our life of prayer and the resulting actions be faithful and persistent, with the kingdom of God ever our goal. So in the words of Amos, but let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Amen.